Hello, everyone. Welcome to Just Getting By for Monday, the 3rd of October, 2011. I am Craig Jones, and I am joined, as always, by Chemslave. Hello, Chemslave.
Howdy.
How are you doing this fine and beautiful Monday?
My throat is starting to go.
Oh, no. You see, that's not good on a podcast where you have to speak.
No, I've been feeling slightly iffy. I should be good for this show.
Okay, well, I hope you feel better. I hope you don't get sick. All right, so, you know, Chemslave, we have a kind of weird week in store for the listeners because we're doing things a little bit backwards. Because if you've listened to us for a while, you'll know that every Friday we do like a Technology Friday. We talk about technology. Sometimes you have a non-technology story. That's fine. But we'll end with a technology topic that we tend to discuss at length. But obviously this week, the technology story is going to be Apple's announcement on Tuesday.
Yes.
And we record all three episodes. This is a tri-weekly podcast for Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. But we record all of them at the same time that previous Sunday. So as of this recording, we have no idea what Apple is going to do. As a matter of fact, when this airs on Monday, we still will have no idea what it's going to do. So we thought it would make more sense to have the technology story on Monday this week than on Friday, so people hear it and they don't already know, oh, okay, well, these people were right, or these people didn't know what the hell they were talking about. It's still all speculation from our point of view, and we would like it to stay that way from the point of view of the audience. So that being said, we're going to start off the week with just Apple talk. So if you don't like Apple technology news, just tune out now, because this whole show is going to be dedicated to the iPhone. At least, I think. Chemslave, do you have any strong inkling about what's going to be happening on Tuesday?
Aren't they going to be showing off this new fangled device?
Well, that's what we think. See, what they're going to be doing is they're going to be giving an update on iOS 5. We know that for a fact because they've pre-released that to developers, and they've always said in the fall it was going to be ready. So they're going to have something to say about iOS 5. And included with iOS 5, well, not included, but complementary to iOS 5 is iCloud, the service that Steve Jobs actually announced in June during WWDC. iCloud, by the way, it turns out will be Steve Jobs' last product introduction, assuming, of course, he does not come out on the stage on Tuesday. So you have iCloud and iOS 5 that are almost certainly going to be talked about on Tuesday by Apple's own admission. So iOS 5 is the operating system that runs all of Apple's mobile devices. From their Apple TV, even, which is, that's not even mobile. But also, the iPad, the iPod Touch, and obviously the iPhone, all run on iOS. And iOS 5 is the latest iteration of that. The change is, quite frankly, not that important. They have a newsstand feature that collects periodical downloads into one easy-to-use, easy-to-look-at format. They have the drop-down notification window, very Android-esque. They have that. But also, iCloud is their syncing service, or information syncing service, so that all of your applications and all of your devices, including desktop and laptop Macs, will be in sync. So, this is stuff that's already been pre-announced, but the big question is what's going to come in addition to it. Now, the invite that Apple gave the press last week said, let's talk iPhone. So it's pretty clear that the iPhone's going to be the major topic of discussion. And since they did not release a revamped iPhone during WWDC, which is when they usually do it, we assume they're going to be announcing some sort of new phone on Tuesday. Now, Chemslave, the question is, how many phones? And what shape those phones will take? That is the question. And it is a very complicated question, and one that I believe will only be answered when Tim Cook or Scott Forstall or Phil Schiller, when somebody does the product introduction on Tuesday. That's the only time we will know really what's going on.
But didn't they release, Gizmodo released some pictures from Brazil?
Yeah, you know what? They did. And it's a picture of an iPhone 4. With a slightly updated SKU number. So the iPhone 4 was the N90. And the SKU that Gizmodo saw in the Brazil factory said N90A. So that implies it's a very slight upgrade to the iPhone 4. Now, the question is, what is that phone? Is that just the brand new iPhone 4 that's going to be the low-end model? Like right now, for example, on AT&T, not Verizon, but on AT&T and most carriers worldwide, they offer the iPhone 3GS, which is a year-and-a-half-old phone, for like $99. And that's their low-end phone for people that want an iOS device, but they don't want to spend the $300 for a good iPhone 4. Now, does this new iPhone that Gizmodo saw, the iPhone 4, but with the slightly modified SKU, does that replace the iPhone 3GS? Or is that indeed the new iPhone, the new flagship product, what we call the iPhone 4S, in homage to the iPhone 3G and iPhone 3GS relationship, whereby the 3GS was only a minor upgrade from the 3G.
Well, it'd be really weird if they were just to release a minor update, as we've been waiting for the new iPhone much longer than we've normally waited for.
You see, that's the thing. That's why everybody was expecting an iPhone 5. You see, in the tech community parlance, it's really been the case that when you talk about a minor refresh to the iPhone 4, it's called the iPhone 4S. But when you talk about a new design, they always call it the iPhone 5. And they ask, well, which one's going to come out, the 4S or 5? As if it's one or the other. But this is where the rumor mill really fails us. And for the first time in recent Apple history, it turns out that in the past, in the days and weeks leading up to an announcement, we would see a steady stream of leaks that would be clearly pointing in one solid direction. But for this past year, well, this half a year now, since maybe March or April, we have been getting mixed signals all over the place about what's happening. Take, for example, an article appearing on This Is My Next, the site that's going to eventually become The Verge. They had a mock-up. Joshua Topolsky, the editor-in-chief of The Verge, posted it, saying, is this what the iPhone 5 will look like? And they have this drastically different-looking phone, a 4-inch screen, a tapering design on the back, whereby it's thicker at the top and thinner on the bottom, and a touch-sensitive, non-movable home button. This has been a very popular design concept for what people think an iPhone 5 might look like.
It doesn't look so good.
It does not look so good, you say?
Yeah.
Well, you know who agrees with you?
Who?
John Gruber.
Really?
Of Daring Fireball fame. Yes, the premier Apple fanboy. John Gruber. By the way, I don't say that as a term of disparagement. He is an immensely talented man, and his Daring Fireball site is absolutely amazing. It's great. But he posted a story just a few days ago, being very, very skeptical of this design. Now, I was telling you, ChemSlave, before I started recording, that I'm getting the impression that John has lost a contact or two at Apple. Because John used to have these fantastic scoops. He would say, you know, something's coming up when no one else thought it, and it turned out to be true. And he hasn't had one of those in a very long time. The last real scoop that he had was that Twitter was going to have deep integration with iOS 5. And that's not exactly what you would call an earth-shaking tip.
That was a long time ago, too.
Well, that was just a few months ago. That was WWDC. But he hasn't had anything even approaching that this time. He is totally in the dark. And for something as big as this iPhone, I really get the impression that he lost a contact or several in the iPhone hardware division. Now, if you recall, in the lead up to the Verizon iPhone, John Gruber would do these little posts about the what do they call it? The N94, I think. Oh no, that's the iPhone 5. Well, the N something, and there was like a device prototype for CDMA carriers, and he would give an update every now and then about the status of the quote-unquote Verizon iPhone before it was ever even, you know, considered a possibility that it would come out. So he was on top of that for a long time. But really, once the Verizon iPhone came out, he hasn't had anything good. So I'm getting a little bit concerned about John. I hope he can get his tips coming in again, because that's really what made his site. Anyway, well, I'm kind of getting on a bit of a tangent, but John, a few days ago, 2 days ago, on the 30th of September, he wrote an article entitled Teardrop Skepticism, whereby he was really, really skeptical that the iPhone 5, that the next generation iPhone would be a teardrop shape. And he gives a lot of really good reasons. This guy really gets Apple. He can really get into their psyche, and he really gets their design aesthetic. And I encourage you, we have the link in our show notes, justgettingbypodcast.com. Go there and take a look at his post, because it is an excellent read. But he's quite obviously using only his own information, too, only his own gut instinct. And his gut instinct says that this teardrop shape is just, you know, it's no good. It's not happening. And he gives a lot of reasons for that, one being the unbalanced feel it would have, another being that Apple has tried to be orientation agnostic, that not really having a clear right way to hold it. In the iPhone, you kind of do have a right way to hold it because of the mic for speaking into it. But when you have it, like, horizontal, they've always tried to let you, you know, do things the way you want to do them.
I'm slightly in conflict with that comment.
Really? Why?
Because when you the right way to hold the thing is in portrait mode, because that's the way the icons are set up. So the text is right underneath the icon, and if you put it in landscape mode, the icons do not move.
Well, you're just talking about the springboard. And yes, of course, the springboard is only in portrait mode. I will absolutely grant you that. But the minute you go into a game, or the minute you go into like a reading application, or many applications actually, they support both orientations. And Apple has always been very, very stringent that applications really ought to support both orientations and do it well. That was always a big selling point of the iPhone and the iPod Touch, for that matter. That they, when you turn them, they adjust to the new orientation very quickly. It's something that most Android devices can only dream of. that level of snappy performance. So I get what you're saying, and they're really when you have an iPhone, obviously there are many instances where having it in portrait mode is important. You're absolutely right. But in those situations where it is necessary or desirable to have the iPhone in landscape mode, they've always, you know, they've left the design such that you are not forced to have it one way or the other. But with a teardrop shape, it's going to feel very different in your hand, depending on which way you hold it. And John argues that that's really not the way Apple does things. And also, you'll see in the various mock-ups that have been done, an unbalanced portrayal of the top and bottom non-touch portions of the front of the iPhone, like where the home button and the speaker is. He argues that's not symmetric, and that's not in keeping with Apple's design philosophy, which I agree with. I agree with this post 100%. What I have problems with when it comes to John's his commentary is the fact that he doesn't really say much. This is a big article that he wrote. Again, go to our show notes to look at it. Or go to Daring Fireball. But he takes a lot of space to say, really, well, I don't know what's going to happen, but I don't like the look of the teardrop design, so it's not going to be that. So
I hope his intuition is correct on this.
I hope so, too. I hope so, too. I don't like the sound of that one bit. But, you know, also, he doesn't, however, dispel the notion that there could be two iPhones. And I'm almost leaning towards the idea that there might be two separate new iPhones released. Because we have seen, we've seen cases, including cases that have been shipped to AT&T stores, be designed for a totally new iPhone 5. But then we have seen report after report after report of just, you know, a very modest upgrade to the current iPhone. So we have seen so many conflicting signals, very unusual, so close to an Apple announcement, that I think something really interesting has happened. Either Apple is going to be releasing two new phones, or I think they have been waging a deliberate campaign to mislead the media.
That would not be shocking at all.
No, it would not.
I would love for that to be true.
Okay, Andrew, you sound like shit again.
Really?
Now you sound good. What happened?
I think I might have not spoken clearly.
All right. Well, we'll... Okay, that's fine. We shall press on then. Now, what do you think? What's your prediction? The reason why I wanted to talk about this is just to get predictions from both you, and then I'll give my own predictions about what's going to be happening on Tuesday. If you had to sit down and place a bet, what would you bet happens on Tuesday? Be as complete as possible.
Well, from all the rumors, I think they will release a redesigned iPhone. Probably won't be as dramatic as they say with the teardrop design. I would be really interested if it does have like a metal back, like a steel back again. Because the glass, it looks really nice. So I'll be slightly sad to see that go. But it would sort of fit in with the Apple design to have everything look unibody, like with their new, not new anymore, but their unibody laptops. I was sort of shocked when they released the iPhone 4 with with two glass backs. So that's not unibody. I don't think it'll be a 4-inch screen, because that will probably cause a whole crap load of issues with apps having to redesign them again, so all the pixels are correctly set up. And I'll probably also, because it's that big of a screen, the image quality might be slightly reduced. I don't think the home screen button, the home button, will be that elongated as they show, like, in a This Is My Next article. That just doesn't look Apple-esque.
Let me ask you, though, do you think it's going to be touch-sensitive?
I hope it is, because I've seen, like, with my iPod Touch that the home button would start to not be as responsive over the time I owned it.
You see, I totally get that argument. But my worry is that it will lead to a lot of accidental quote-unquote presses. And
you probably have like a pressure sensor in there where you have to press down on it for it to work, maybe.
In that case, it's almost defeating the purpose of not having a physical button.
That is true. Maybe time.
Yeah, that's true. But then also, you have the situation that you can't just quickly press the button and get out of where you want to get out of now. Now, but I'm sure they will find a good way of doing it. Don't get me wrong. It's just, if it is in any way capacitive and not mechanical, I do worry that that will lead to an increase of accidental button presses. Because, let me tell you something, depending on what situation you're in, you do not want to be accidentally brought back to the home screen. There are some programs that if you're in the middle of something and you go back to the home screen, you're screwed. Video playback, for one thing. Games. Even if it pauses correctly, I mean, still. There are a lot of situations that you... I could envision there being some issues with the capacitive button. But at the same time, I do think it would be cool. And I think you're absolutely right. We have been using this home button more and more often. Excuse me. More and more often. And it's going to begin to tax the physical button capability. So eventually, I think it's inevitable, we will see a capacitive button. So I think you're right about that.
The double click sometimes doesn't work correctly. Sometimes you double click and it doesn't pop up, or it pops up and it disappears. Just maybe accidentally triple clicked it.
That's right. Yeah. You're absolutely right. And also, I didn't mention this, and I should let you continue with your prognostication. But there's also the rumor that iOS 5 is going to include Nuance technology for speech recognition. And the theory is that that would be activated by some sort of home button click. So that's just one more way of adding functionality to that home button. So they keep adding functionality, so eventually they're going to have to make that non-mechanical. So I think...
Yeah, but they already do have a form of, voice.
They do, but nobody uses it. Nobody uses that thing. It's terrible. It's very limited.
You have to use it once or twice just to, oh, I know this is here. Let's test this out. But
yeah, that's a long press. And by the rumor is that's going to be replaced by this Nuance technology. So it's not going to be anything additional. But if this integrated speech assistant is as good as it is rumored to be, then people are going to be using that home button a hell of a lot more often.
Yeah, I've used the Dragon Diction that Nuance has.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I think that there are words that it has problems with, but that's probably just nuances. Pardon my pun in people's speech.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. We all have a unique speech pattern, some more than others. yes, I think you're absolutely right about that. What else do you think is going to happen?
Well, of course, the no-brainer is iOS 5, so I don't have to even mention that more than that. Truthfully, I don't know what else is going to happen. I would really, really be interested if they do release two phones. I I sort of want it to, like, that N90A to be just sort of like a screw you to, like, to that, like, the all the tech journalists are sort of, it's like, yeah, we're gonna do this. Think about it. It's my opinion of the N90A is probably gonna be, it's just gonna be the regular, like, how we have the 330 or the 3GS. Well, it's just gonna be that. That's gonna be the replacement for that. Then it's just gonna, the A is there because it's gonna have GSM and CDMA.
Exactly.
The only thing that's gonna change.
I agree with you 100%. I think there's gonna be a redesigned iPhone 5. I think the proof of that came out quite a few months ago when a man named Adam Leshinsky wrote a pretty detailed piece in Fortune magazine detailing Steve Jobs and the way Apple was run from the inside. He gave a story about how Steve Jobs was so pissed off that the Mobile Me team screwed up so bad in the beginning of Mobile Me's launch. We don't need to get into that. That's old history. But they also, Fortune also referenced Steve Jobs not being pleased with the iPhone 4. Not that the design of the iPhone 4 had fallen out of favor at Apple for its inherent problems. The antenna attenuation issue and the fragility of the phone, especially the back. So I would be very surprised not to see a redesign. Now, I think the teardrop shape, that this is my next task. By the way, that was informed by a tip into This Is My Next. So that wasn't just them pulling it out of their ass. But I think it's incorrect. I think it's much more likely to be analogous to the current kind of iPod Touch. Oh, wait, no, is the current iPod Touch tapered?
I really don't know.
I can't.
I don't have one.
Maybe an original iPod Touch. Very thin, but equal all the way through the back. And I do expect there not to be a glass back on it. I think it's going to be some sort of aluminum or plastic, but not glass anymore. And I think there's going to be a processor upgrade to the A5 dual-core processor that we have in the iPad. And it seems like, because of that nuance speech technology, there's going to be a drastic increase in the RAM, up to a gigabyte of RAM in the new iPhone. So I do expect there to be an iPhone 5. And I do expect it to be a significant upgrade. And I also expect the current iPhone 4 to be retooled a little bit. And I think that is, like you just said, I think that's going to be what is now the iPhone, the N90A SKU that Gizmodo saw.
Oh, I googled the iPod Touch.
And yeah.
That's not, from the images, it does not have a tapered back.
Well, and I didn't think it did. So I absolutely think then that the current iPod Touch is a solid view about what the next iPhone could look like. Not that thin, though. It won't be that thin, because there needs to be room for the camera sensor. Because the iPhone 4 has a fantastic camera, and the iPhone 5 is supposed to have an 8-megapixel camera, which is an improvement over the 5-megapixel that we have in the iPhone 4. And in order to have that good a camera in the iPhone, it cannot be as thin as the iPod Touch. So, but I do think the iPod Touch's design aesthetic is informative of where the iPhone line is going. Eventually, I could easily see there not being an iPod Touch. You just buy an iPhone off contract and use it, you know, as an iPod Touch or an iPhone, however you choose.
So what do you think? Are they gonna upgrade the amount of memory, like not like physical, like space that you have on the device?
They did show a 64 gigabyte model, and I think it's high time that they add that. memory has gone down in price enough that I think they could offer 64 gigabytes. What the question is, though, is that going to be a new tier, or are they going to be dropping the 16 gigabyte and go to 32 and 64? I don't think the price of memory has gone down so much that they can do that. But I think they will offer that as a extra expensive option for those that do want that space. What do you think?
If I was in the, had the money to upgrade, and it did have a 64 gigabyte, I probably would, like, if when next time I'm upgrading my phone, I would probably go for the 64 gigabyte version just because I really hate having to choose which track, like, music I have on the phone. Just put it all on and then and not worry about it.
I'm sure a lot of people are in that situation, too. So that's definitely something to keep in mind. Now, the last big question about Tuesday. Does Steve Jobs make an appearance?
I think he will not make an appearance. Because that would sort of steal thunder from Tim Cook. As the new CEO, I think they would probably sort of allow this thing to be the first time where Cook... Would it be the first time that Tim Cook would be the lead person leading this thing, or has he...
Yes, no, he has never led one of these before. He has given presentations during an Apple keynote, but he has never led them. The only other Apple executive to lead one of these keynotes has been Phil Schiller. Tim Cook has never emceed one of these things himself.
So I think he's going to be doing that just because while Steve Jobs is the man, I think he'll want to have Tim Cook, because he is the new CEO, to have not steal his thunder, so to speak.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. But I also think if they did it right, that if they announced almost everything, but they saved like an ultra-low-cost iPhone or like a revamp to the Apple TV or something, something a little bit off the cuff, if they saved that for like a one more thing type of deal, and they brought out the chairman of the board, I could see how that would work out to be a plus and not take away from Tim Cook. And All Things D had a report that the question of Steve Jobs making an appearance was dependent on his health, and that it sounded like if he was healthy enough, he could very well come out. So I'm not saying people should read too much into it if he doesn't come out, because obviously it could just be that they wanted to give Tim Cook as much breathing room as possible. But I would not be surprised to see Steve. I think it's 50-50. Not knowing the current condition of his health, I think it's 50-50 if he comes out. If he does, it would only be towards the end. He absolutely would not come out first. I would bet an enormous amount of money that Tim Cook is the first one out on that stage. I would almost bet a body part that Tim Cook is the first one out on stage.
I wouldn't go that far. Body parts are important.
Yeah, like a nail or something. All right.
Ripped them out before, so that's not that big of a problem.
That's painful, though.
Yes.
So, is there anything else that we need to talk about?
I don't think so. This is an important enough topic that I believe it should be left alone as a standalone.
All right. So, if you being the audience, if you have any suggestions, any comments that you want to throw our way, email us at feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com. Again, that's feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com. And go to our website, which is justgettingbypodcast.com, and view our show notes, which includes links and links to stories we've discussed over the course of the program. And it also contains links to subscribe to us on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it if you subscribe to us on iTunes. You could just go to iTunes right now. Anybody who's listening right now, you know, just forget our website. Go to iTunes and do a search for Just Getting By, and we are the top hit in podcasts for Just Getting By. And just click the subscribe button, and you'll be good to go. You'll get us every day at 5 a.m. We will be there.
Every day?
Well, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Not every day. Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays and Sundays, we take off.
Thank God.
Yes. We need a break. All right. So, leave us some feedback. We love to see your feedback. We've gotten some great feedback about the Netflix and Quickster situation. We might revisit that topic at some point in the future. Not this week. But if we do revisit it, we will certainly incorporate comments we've received. So add your voice to the conversation. We love it. That being said, I think it's time we wrap up. And Chemslave, I will talk to you on Wednesday.
Sayonara.